standing by. Over.
Jeremy and Joe continues now
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
He's Joe. I'm the Huntington Bank bad boy. Every time I hear that, that rejoin, bring a smile on my face. Might be my greatest accomplishment in the show's history.
It makes you happy?
Yeah.
Bullied Michael into it continues now?
Yeah, yeah. Stupid. Yeah, Jeremy and Joe starts now again. Oh, it's 5 o'clock now. You know what happens? Jeremy and Joe starts again.
Last hour starts now.
That's not what he said. Moving the goalpost. Brian always moves the goalpost. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
Brian moves the goalpost from like...
He's the goalpost mover.
From one city to another. Like, he crosses state lines with as much as he moves his goalpost. It's crazy. His goalposts are in Mexico by the end of the week.
And I'm Mexico.
I got one more bad for you. Michael Schwab has turned against Josh Miller. Schwab tweeted the other day, this would have been 2 days ago Saturday, it baffles me that Josh Miller is still the pitching coach for the Astros. This pitching staff has no plan and is completely unstable. The inconsistency, the walks, the bullpen usage and choices, it's been a complete disaster. Hitting has been good, pitching horrible. How are you turning on Josh Miller in the pitching machine?
So he's trying to give Murphy all the credit now?
Josh Miller has been unbelievable for this organization.
Yeah, like this is a moving the goalpost, right?
It's a Brian move.
Murphy and Miller are good. They're fixing everyone. All right, Murphy goes to the Pirates and it's bad, so it's Miller's fault.
What in the world?
It's your GM's fault.
Yes.
Your GM sucks at evaluating talent.
Yes.
How do you know it's the coaches?
Yes.
And Murphy gets zero credit for what's happening in Pittsburgh, in my opinion.
Those guys
are awesome. They were awesome. They traded Mike Burrows to you for a reason.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't get credit for Paul Skeens and these guys.
Josh Miller got Murphy scraps. Like,
the only thing Murphy does is have the law. I don't know if you've seen this year. His average walk to the mound is like 12 seconds.
It's the longest.
He takes his sweet-ass time.
That's the Wayne Grand move.
Yeah, and he goes out like mid-at-bat all the time. It's very different.
So he's trying to break the momentum.
Yeah, so it's like 0-2. And he's just like slowly walking. It's so funny.
That's pretty cool.
But yeah, you can't like, – this is the blame game era, right? No one wants to blame the players on the roster. But the reality is most of them are bad.
I mean, I think we will blame the players.
But I think people like Michael Schwab, and I like Michael, but like blaming the pitching coaches for this and being like it's his fault. Based on what?
It's easier for him to say that than it's Lance McCullers' fault because he's a bum because he wouldn't do that to Lance.
And I know right now, like we banged on hitting coaches for 2+ seasons, and the early returns this year have been very positive. That things are so much better. Well, it helps when Jordan Alvarez leads virtually every single category in all of Major League Baseball. Hitting wise, Christian Walker is awesome this year. Like, as Brian went through, Altuve slumping right now, but like the lineup's just been good. Carlos Correa has been, I think, phenomenal in the leadoff spot. So people want to point to that change as see if it worked for the hitting coaches and for the hitters changing there. Why aren't they doing that with pitching? It's just they're trying to find a scapegoat without being as hard on the players as other people are, and like we are.
As a Cub fan, you know plenty about goats.
I do. Know a lot about goats. Billy Goat.
Jordan.
I know a lot about pitching injuries, too.
Kerry Wood had that one goat game against the Astros.
I think today's the anniversary.
No way. I think that was like in June.
I thought I saw it.
I thought it was in the summer also.
Right?
I thought it was in the summer.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was in June. My guess is June 17th.
Also the day the Rockets won their first title?
June 17th?
It's 17th or 18th or 19th. I know I'm giving 3 days now, but I think that was the day of the it was either the day of the OJ chase or the day they won game seven.
No, it's next week. It's May 6th.
It was okay. I thought it was deeper into the calendar. Okay. All right. I was wrong.
No, I just saw a shirt going on sale for it.
That was so nasty that I remember watching that game live on WGN.
And then, didn't he also only give up one hit in that game?
I think it was Ricky Gutierrez
on a bun or something.
I think it was an infield single.
Infield single.
I think he like hit a weak ground ball to the six hole on the left side. I think. That's what my memory tells me.
And then Dusty broke him.
Yeah, and Pryor.
And Pryor.
713-780-ESPN. Good, bad, ugly from the Astros weekend. Joe, you want to have the honor of the goods?
Eric Gedde. We'll start there.
He's kind of nasty.
He's the ace.
Asa Getty.
Asa Getty.
How do you like it? Grade the nickname, 713-780-3776. How do y'all feel about Asa Getty?
I give it a 10.
I post these charts after the Astros make these starting. They're not my charts. I'm just spreading out the news. But it's hard to get like an A on stuff. You see very little A stuffs. Spencer Arrighetti, after his start this weekend, had A stuff.
Yeah.
He's kind of nasty. He's kind of nasty, the Spencer Arrighetti. His baseball savant, a lot of red. Now, he's probably pitching better than what his expected. Like, his expected ERA is 4.99. His real ERA is 2. Bit of a difference. But, yeah, he's been really good. 3-0 in three starts, an ERA of 2. I think he's accounted for, like, 3 of the last 5 Astro wins, I think.
Sounds right.
I think that's the number.
I saw this stat. He has the first 7-inning game by a starter since Lance McCullers on March 30th.
That's so sad.
Since Lance McCullers was, you know, good that one time.
Yeah. But, I mean, Arrighetti's been good. Yeah. He's been really good for the Astros.
He's, like, one of your signs of hope.
21 punchies in 18 innings.
Yeah.
All right. Not bad. I think they got something. Now, does it speak to Dana Brown's eye?
They put him in Sugar Land?
That he started the season in Sugar Land?
Yeah.
They got the worst pitching staff in baseball, and the best pitcher on their staff started the year in AAA. And
behind Burroughs, behind
like I
homesick.
I get the roster crunch, and I get that he had twins, and he came back home, so did it disrupt his spring? I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt, but I think it's totally fair to point out that the best pitcher on your pitching staff started the year in AAA.
And Burroughs and Emi were locked in.
Yes.
But
and
McCullers?
Brown was.
But McCullers?
McCullers might have been.
Because of his contract?
Yeah, they might have been a sunk
cost.
So that's
where I kind of give Dana Brown a little bit of the benefit of the doubt. They were going to go to the 6-man rotation right away. His spring, like you said, got interrupted a little bit. But, yeah, he's the best pitcher on the staff now.
It's fair to point out that he started the year in AAA. I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt, too, mostly because of his schedule, though. Like he had the twins. He came home for a little bit. But he's been awesome. Asa Getty. Papa Spencer is what has changed his career around. Really, really good to see that, though, from him. I thought Walker had a good homestand.
Yeah.
Christian Walker, somebody learned how to hit in the dike. Christian Walker learned how to hit in the dike. So really cool to see that from Christian Walker.
Man, yes. When he gets a hold of him, he sends it a long ways.
Especially inside the dike.
6 hits, 2 home runs over the weekend. Very good.
Was it, 4:30 on the home run yesterday? 4:32? So it was a long ways, as Jenny Kavanaugh would say.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
He might be tradable this summer.
Might be.
Might be tradable this summer, depending on where you're at.
Yeah, he's definitely tradable this summer.
Yeah, people are going to look at those numbers and be like, yeah, we'll gladly pay him $10 million left on this year and then 20 for next year.
Yeah.
Like you might even get a prospect out of him.
You might, yeah. If he's sitting like this.
Yeah.
I think
If he hits like this every game, he could be Babe Ruth.
Honestly, you might have to trade him even if you get back into contention.
Yeah. I don't know if you can do that.
Paredes can play first.
I don't know if you can do that. Well, why would Correa play first?
No, Paredes.
Oh, okay. Which, by the way, another good.
Yep, another good.
Esoc gave us Boyle Gratis today. He gave us Boyle Gratis.
Esoc,
did you get your Boyle Gratis? Did you get your Boyle Gratis?
I forgot.
You still time.
I'm going to get all the way home.
There's time today. You can get your Boyle Gratis. Thanks to Esoc Fidatis.
So you're good.
You have till May 1st?
Yeah, I saw that on the app when
that's
I got
crazy.
Mine.
What kind of soft rules are these?
I don't know. That's what it said when I ordered mine.
That's crazy. Because I think
soft.
Like when they
it
give
be
you
today only.
I think
it
when they
be.
I think when they give you like the wing coupons when you're leaving the game, they're like they expire like the next day.
Different company.
No, I know, but this one's better then.
Well, Chick-fil-A is doing this promotion with pleasure.
Yeah,
pleasure's totally. All there.
With pleasure, yeah, but always.
Parade is good.
Got these Boyle. Boyle T and para mí. Brian, what goods do you have?
Yordan.
Did I skip you? It doesn't matter.
No. It doesn't matter what your name is. Yordan hitting every game, 2 multiple hit games. He continues to mash.
There you go. Any other goods?
They didn't get swept.
Yeah, like pizza. They didn't get swept.
Yeah, that was.
Man, they didn't get
and
swept.
If you're going to win, here's my old adage when it comes to baseball. If you're only going to win one game in the series, it is best to win the final game of the series. If you only get one, it is best to win the final game of the series. Why? It doesn't matter. Momentum.
Yeah.
And you feel good about it, right? The Astros are catching a flight to Baltimore to get ready for a series. I don't know if they left yesterday or if they left today. I have no idea. But as they catch the flight, they're walking onto the plane with a little bit of swagger.
Yeah.
A little bit of aura. because they won the game. They're feeling good about themselves. You board a plane after a win, you feel better about yourselves than boarding a plane after a loss. So if you only get one win a series, it is best to get it on the final day of the series.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah, but not
it's absolutely true. You feel good about yourself. I definitely, confidence.
Not when you're this bad overall, though.
Well, it doesn't help the grand cause. No. It doesn't help you in the standings.
No.
But is it better to win the first game or the last game?
Yeah, like if you're only going to win one game, would you rather win Friday and then be on a two-game losing streak?
No.
No.
Or win on Sunday, like, all right, we turn it around.
Want to win on Sunday.
And they're going into an off day?
Yeah.
Like, oh, we turned it around. We flipped the script.
Playing Baltimore.
Yeah, we're going to fly to Baltimore. We're going to take 2 out of 3.
They're below 500.
You know? Like, you're feeling good about yourself a little bit. It does help the confidence a little bit. It's weird. It's like this. Like, obviously, you'd rather take 2 of 3 in any series. But even when you take 2 of 3 and you lose that final game and you board a flight, like, you have a little bit of a bad taste in your mouth.
Yeah, as long if you're going on the road, winning that last one's good. Even if you're at home, just getting that momentum going to the next series is good.
It's always good.
Someone texted this in, but the fact that they're only 4.5 games back still.
It's good.
As you know, as they're struggled this year, like the A's or anyone are not running away with the division, that's a positive.
It is.
That, like they're still in this thing. The season's not over yet because you're in one of the worst divisions in baseball. Early on.
Yeah, and like, you know, maybe you just don't think the Astros are a playoff team anyways, but from a player psyche, if you were 11-18 and like 8 games out of the playoffs, like already, you would feel some sort of way.
Yeah, you have the same record as the Boston Red Sox right now. You're 4.5 games
That's
out of first.
True. BS flag.
Oh, it's off by half a game.
That's different. Words matter.
Yeah, my bad. So the Red Sox are 11-17. They are 7 games out of first place right now. You're 4.5.
Well, Red Sox are only 3 out of the playoffs. Astros are 3.5.
Oh, I was thinking to the top of the division. The
11-18 could feel really bad if you were 8 games back.
Sure.
The fact that you're only 3.5 gives the players something to hang their hat on.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've gotten off to a terrible 29-game start, but we're right in the thick of things. We're still very much in the thick of the wild card. We're still very much in the thick of the division. So it does give you that hope of like, okay, keep your head above water, Hunter Brown, yay. All systems go. The record is abysmal. The standings do benefit you a little bit. I have one more good real quick. Brian Abreu. 1-2-3 inning on Friday. He's back. He's back, baby. Ever since that, what's that one podcast with Stafford in Rome?
Crush City.
Yep.
Crush City. Ever since they were crushing Brian Abreu, you know what he's done? Been perfect. He has not allowed a single base runner to reach. Bullying works. They bullied Brian Abreu into being effective. His velo was still down 2.5 miles per hour. But it was a 1-2-3 perfect inning in the ninth in a 12-4 game. 12-4 game, he had a perfect inning, baby.
He's back.
All right, some junkies got some good, bad, uglies. We get to those when we come back. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2. If you continue to have these struggles with your baseball team and you want to leave those baseball struggles and troubles behind, you know where to go already. You know what I'm going to say. Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. This is the best idea for you to get away. To escape your sports sadness, just to get away for a little bit and not cost an arm and a leg. We see what gas prices are doing. You might not want to travel via the airplane because they're expensive. They're expensive. The, you know, TSA, long lines, all that sort of thing. Two Creeks Crossing Resort's 90 minutes away. You're going to be there in an hour and a half. Escape the city. Enjoy the relaxing great outdoors. Book your stay right now, twocreekscrossingresort.com, and they got it all. They got open green spaces out there, wildlife, beautiful, majestic trees, some of the best fishing in Texas, too. Two creeks alongside their property, catch and release pond in the middle of the property. Great way to teach the kiddos how to fish. You're going to love your time out there. 92 acres of property for you to explore. They got kayaking for you. They got pickleball courts if you want to take the racket. Or you can just hang out by the pool with a drink, too. Swampers is right there. Plus, Blue Bayou Bend opens up on May 1st. The grand opening, official grand opening, May 9th. It's going to be so awesome out there at Blue Bayou Bend from Two Creeks Crossing Resort. Plus, they got every stay you could want. They got glamping for you, waterfront cabins right on their creek, a tree house. You walk up the steps, you're in a house that's right in the middle of a tree. Or if you already have an RV, pull up the RV. They have the perfect stay for everybody. You're going to love your time out there. A few of the events coming up in May, for instance. First weekend of May, their annual chili cook-off. Everybody loves chili. The official grand opening of Blue Bayou Bend on the 8th. Then they have weekend activities, Memorial Day weekend, the weekend after that, live music, food trucks. They got it all at Two Creeks Crossing Resort. You're going to love your time. So go ahead and book that stay right now. TwoCreeksCrossingResort.com. That's TwoCreeksCrossingResort.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Back to the Huntington Bank Studios with Jeremy Branham and Joe George
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
All right, good, bad, uglies from the Astro weekend. 713-780-ESPN. Went to the game Saturday, caught Aaron Judge 8th inning warm-up baseball. He threw into the stands before the bottom of the 8th. I did not give it to some 12-year-old Yankees kid that was rows in front. An Astro fan were mad at me and wanted to fight me. What are y'all's thoughts? I think you should have given it to the kid.
Same.
Yeah. It would have meant more to a 12-year-old than it means to you.
Is it your first ever baseball?
Doesn't matter. You're an adult.
You're an adult.
It doesn't matter. You give it to the kid.
Now, I don't think the fan should have wanted to fight you. I think that's a little absurd.
Yeah, I don't like the – I think you probably should have given it.
Yeah, you should have given it.
But I don't think it's up to the people around you to make that decision for you.
No, they can't police it, but you did the wrong thing.
Yeah, you did the wrong thing. Spaghetti song is the same song y'all sang about him last year. He's pretty good whenever he's not supposed to be good. Yeah, we'll see. Just do Spencer Arrighetti second, Tommy John now, and get it out of the way. Has he had Tommy?
No, he had a broken Tommy. Thumb.
Right, but he had elbow issues last year that set him down the rest of the season. But I don't. If he had Tommy, it would have been in his minor league career. I don't remember him having Tommy.
Definitely not as a pro.
Yeah, I don't remember him having Tej.
I don't think so.
I don't think he's had Tej. Guys, this pitching staff has not been good since Strom. There was a year or two carry over from guys that Strom worked with. Most of the you guys have not been good. Okay, that's not true. Hunter Brown's been really, really good under the direction of Josh Miller. Also, Brent Strom, whenever he left, said a big reason that he left was because all of the guys were Miller's guys. He said all the new guys that are on this team now are Miller's guys, and it's time for me to go. So, like, the pitching staff has been good. They've worked miracles on some not-so-good pitchers. Like, the Astros' pitching machine is the reason they've continued to be good in this, like, latter golden era. Like, what are you talking about? The pitching staff hasn't been good.
Yeah,
that's incorrect.
Yeah, I mean, Hunter Brown's best years were with – well, he wasn't here with Brent Strom, right? Because Brent Strom left in 21.
I can't remember the exact year.
And Hunter Brown came up in 22, so he wasn't even with them.
When Strom left, he said, like, the only guy that's still left here that I've had is McCullers.
Yeah.
He said, like, all the other guys are Miller's guys. And that was a big reason why he resigned from Brent Strom. Strom said this.
Yeah.
It's inaccurate. It's an inaccurate text.
Like, they don't get credit for what Kikuchi did here?
Who's Kikuchi?
Should.
Abreu?
Abreu's been much better. He found control. Look, Hunter Brown was not... Like, Hunter Brown was decorated and a highly touted prospect, but there were huge concerns about Hunter Brown not having the command to be a big league starter. The dude from The Athletic talked, like, he got roasted for this, where he's like, yeah, he's a reliever, Hunter Brown. Forget his name.
Keith Law. Yeah.
Keith Law.
Yeah. And so, yeah, no, I think. And Brent Strom hasn't even really been, like, I mean, he went to Arizona first.
Arizona,
right?
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
Pittsburgh.
Yeah, he was like an advisor in Pittsburgh.
I don't know where he's at. He's somewhere now, I thought, in like an advisory role. But
I mean, think about all the randos that this team has turned into legit starters. Renel Blanco doesn't become a major league starter until he's 30. JP France has half a great season at, what, age 28? Jason Alexander last year. These guys we've never heard of, and all of a sudden they're quality starters.
Spencer Arrighetti, when he came up, like now, like someone's got to get credit for it.
Brent Strom gets credit for Spencer Arrighetti.
Apparently.
Brent Strom gets credit for Hunter Brown. Maybe they didn't overlap. That's not an accurate thing. Astros' pitch-in problem is they can't find the plate, and the ones that can find the plate throw it right over the heart of the plate, and I get slapped around.
Was that written by AI?
What's up?
And I get slapped around and made me laugh.
It was, what, 10 walks on Saturday?
So many walks. Season high. I think I read they were on pace for like over 800 walks this year.
I was watching the...
Is that bad?
Oh, my gosh.
I was watching the recap this morning of that game, and Robert Ford goes, there's another walk. Just like, he's like, you can just hear it in his voice. He's like, this sucks.
They should just have the DJ Khaled drop ready to go. Another one. Every time there's a guy who walks.
That would be so funny.
Ugly Lance McCullers Jr. is who we thought he was. People wanted to crown him, but who
they
is?
They are who we thought they were.
How do you have that ready to go?
He's got a lot.
How did Brian the Brain?
Super producer, Brian the Brain.
Brian the Brain had that ready to go. People wanted to crown him, but he is who he thought he was. Bad, the bullpen management. Good, didn't get swept, says Eric the Buyer. Another junkie saying that the Astros should go ahead and trade for a starter now. Astros need a pitcher ASAP. Trade now before it heats up. You get Emi back soon. When is Emi coming back?
Next week.
Pitching in a rehab game pretty soon.
I think he's back next week.
The Astros did announce, they didn't announce. Reporters have reported that the Astros are going to go with a new starter tomorrow.
Yeah.
Gayway is going to get a start tomorrow at Camden Yards, which I guess this means the demotion of Ryan Weiss.
I think so.
Not from the team, but from the starting rotation.
Yeah. Which, like, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I'm not really sure I get it.
I don't really get it either. I don't have a lot of hope for it.
Like, I think I would have just kept Ryan Weiss there.
Yeah, I don't quite understand this one.
Well, I think it probably has to do with Dana Brown, like having nights where he couldn't sleep thinking about Gayway. Remember he said that.
Yeah, he did say that.
He said he had nights where he couldn't sleep because he was just thinking about Gayway Tang.
Thinking about Tang.
I mean, and he's only given up, what, 2 earned runs in his last 5 appearances?
He gave up a bomb last game he pitched.
Yeah. I was about to say, like, the timing of it is weird, too. Like, arguably his worst outing was his last one.
And remember we talked to Todd Callis on Friday, and he's like, yeah, I don't think it's imminent. He needs to be stretched out a little bit. And then he goes a third of an inning against the Yankees, throws 9 pitches. I'm like, okay, well, there's no chance. Oh, yeah, start him.
Yep.
Start him. He had his worst outing of the year. He threw 9 pitches. He went a third of an inning. He's not getting stretched out. He's getting shortened. Yeah, start him on Tuesday. Gayway.
And so he's going to
start on Tuesday.
And is that weird, too, that he would have a bullpen outing on Saturday and then start on Tuesday?
Maybe they treated that game like his bullpen. Maybe they already were going to go with him on Tuesday. They'd already made that decision, and they were using his bullpen day as, hey, go pitch 9 pitches to the Yankees, one of which lands in the seats.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
But
I just don't know if I agree with it. Like, and also, though, like, I don't want to, like, make a mountain out of a molehill here. This isn't a towel's hill that I'm willing to die on. Do I care who starts between Gayway, Tang, and Ryan Weiss? No, they're the same guy.
Okay, and if you had to, what's the over-under on outs for him this game?
Gayway?
Normally for a starter, they set it at like 15 and a half a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
What is it for this game?
15 and a half feels like a ton for a starter for the
Astros.
Yeah,
that's over 5 innings. Yeah.
That'd be 5 plus.
Yeah.
What's it? Under every time the Astros go to the mound.
Was like 9.5 outs?
Is that? I think that's high.
I was going to say 8. Yeah,
I mean, his longest outing this year is what, 2 2/3?
Yeah.
That's 8. But I think I would set it at 7.5.
And then Weiss is probably just coming in after
him. He's probably going to be his piggyback after him anyways. Yeah. Like, it doesn't make any sense, really.
Yeah, they're just flipping it again.
I mean, what it's telling you, at least I think, is that they think higher of Gayway Tang than they do Ryan Weiss.
Sure.
Or maybe they just want some intel to see which maybe they were, hey, Weiss, you going to get your crack at it? Don't love what I saw. Gayway, you go do it a couple of times. Let's see where we're at. And then, try to make decisions later. But Gayway's been good. Will it look the same as a starter? I don't know.
The Astros are just that throw anything against the wall part of the season, see what sticks.
See what sticks. It's where the Astros are right now. Was not expecting the drop. Quick draw, Brian, over there. Where's Jason Alexander? He's your ace for the Sugar Man Spacers. Trevor Bauer threw a no-hitter recently. Sign him, screw it. Yeah, he threw a no-hitter facing the likes of us.
In how many innings?
It was less than 9?
7.
Why was it 7?
I think that's what they play. But I saw it was
no
seven
chance
innings.
They play 7 independently. Maybe it was like a doubleheader where they play a shortened 7-inning game on a doubleheader.
Yeah, I saw it was. Yeah. Oh, I think it was. It might have been a run rule.
They have a run rule independently.
They're up 13-0, but yeah, he threw a no hitter in 7 innings.
Yeah, it might be a run rule.
Yeah.
He's also facing, like, we're the heart of the order for whoever he was facing. Who's he facing? The Stanton City Railroaders or something? Like,
yeah, but you hit 400 in high school.
I did hit 400 in high school. I'd be the best hitter in our lineup.
The Lancaster Stormers.
That's who he did it against?
Yeah.
I wasn't that far off.
I think this is the same league where a 52-year-old came
That was
back.
The same league?
I think it is.
I saw that story.
Yeah, he's like throwing out there like throwing knuckleballs. He's 52.
Is it R.A. Dickey?
Which is awesome. No. Like, why are we still talking Trevor Bauer? I know things are bad.
Was it 2021 the last time he pitched in Major League Baseball? It's been a long time.
It's been a while.
Yeah, like he obviously went overseas for a while. Now he's in the independent circuit.
I saw his redheaded agent went to watch that start. She was tweeting about it.
Oh, his girlfriend?
That's there's our rumors about it. Why'd you laugh at redheaded lady?
You said redheaded. I thought you said redheaded agent. I thought, why was that a necessary detail for his agent?
Oh, his agent is redheaded.
Okay, but I didn't hear lady. If you said lady, I didn't hear it.
I might not. I might have said agent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rachel Luba, I think it is.
Sounds right.
Yeah, she's got red hair.
Yeah,
I think it's,
you're right, Brian. Last time you pitched was 2021.
It's a woman. Don't disrespect Rachel Luba that way.
So I was right.
Yes. 2021. There, huh?
This junkie just sent us a 2029 high school prospect saying the Astros should get that guy. Why are you sending us 2029 high school prospects? Come on now. The reason the pitching coaches are so good, also the reason that so many pitchers are having injuries. The Astros versus other pitching staffs in baseball, though, are pretty similar to everybody getting hurt.
Yeah, they're not that far off. It's a problem in baseball.
Yeah, it's a baseball problem, not an Astro problem. Now, do the Astros chase velo and spin? Yeah. Yeah. Do good pitchers have velo and spin? Yeah. Like, you don't see a whole lot of Dallas Keuchels around.
No, they don't exist anymore.
Right?
There's probably like a handful of them in the league at this point. Yeah. Most of those guys you don't want.
Yeah. Junkie, I texted Tyre at last year's trade deadline, and y'all all tight. I was nuts. I know I'm in the minority here, but I'm all for selling, not buying. This team has been punching above their weight class all year. They've played great this regular season, but this isn't a playoff-winning roster. Trade Fromber, get the haul, and reset the farm system for another dynasty run starting next year. Yeah, not a bad thing. Yeah, this has to be this guy's dad. Braylon, last two outings, 16 pitches, 15 strikes, no hits, no walks, no runs. Yeah, he's only a freshman in high school, but could do better than the Astros. That's got to be his dad. Mr. Wilcox, stop texting about your freshman son.
Well, he texted back.
Bauer is better than McCullers.
He said, because he's my grandson.
Oh, grandson.
And he calls you, a name.
Because he's my grandson, a-hole. Is he calling me, or is he saying that I'm like digging my own grave?
I think it's because since you're being mean.
I mean, who texts about their freshman son, grandson?
This guy.
We're talking about Houston professional sports. What level of baseball was that, too, I wonder? Is he pitching on the varsity?
This is freshman in high school.
Yeah, but that could be level. It could be freshman, could be JV, could be varsity.
Yeah.
I don't need to be hearing about some freshman guy and what he's dealing up against his freshman team.
He's not even draft eligible.
Yeah, I don't know. What are we talking about? Astros need to get him. Come on. It's not even possible. Grandpa, see you later.
Oh.
See you later, Grandpa.
You are out of here.
Freshman pitchers. In high school. See you later. 713-780-ESPN. Oh, he's a freshman on the JV. That's pretty cool. I wish him the best of luck. Maybe he is a future Astro. I wish you luck, Grandpa. But you can't. You're ejected for the rest of the show. All right, let's talk about the Houston Texans draft, Joe. Do you like the Houston Texans
Yay,
draft?
Yay, Texans!
I forgot about her. I forgot that was a thing last year. Joe's checked out. Joe's texting people. Do you like the Texans draft? What's the plan for these picks as well? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
ESPN 97.5. It's Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
You guys reading my text on air gives my life purpose. Thank you. You're welcome. So we're here to do. We're here to inspire.
Yeah.
That's what we do. We inspire the masses. My two-year-old son hits the bad word out of a plastic ball. Astros should sign him to play the outfield. Another junkie.
I got a couple kids I'm scouting right now.
Junkie?
My son.
You're scouting your son?
He's got a good swing.
Does he?
Yeah. Not the best player on his team, though.
Really?
Yeah, there's this one kid who his grandpa played for the Cubs.
Oh, yeah?
His dad's a coach at, I think, Goose Creek.
Oh, well.
He's hitting into the outfield.
Really?
Off a tee at 4. I don't understand how it's possible.
You got more in the scouting report?
Nope, just I am. Scouting kids, too.
It's a cool story, bro.
Thanks.
Branham baby hits comebackers with his fungo bat.
Did you get in the face yet?
No, he hit me in my knee.
Oh.
He's got a pretty good swing. He swings and misses more than I like, but he's only 3.
Yeah, work got on a little that. Joey Gallo.
He also got like a weird hitch in his swing. Like, what's the bat here? But I also don't know how to coach it out of him yet.
Same. I'm like realizing, like, I don't know anything about baseball.
Yeah, so I think I'm just going to let him swing however he wants until he's old enough to where I can coach it out of him. Because I don't think will he develop a bad habit? I'm sure.
Yeah.
I just don't, like, how do you get him from here to here?
Yeah.
I don't really know how to do that to a 3-year-old.
I don't either.
It's really challenging me as a father at the moment. But he can hit it a little bit. My nephew hit a home run in coach pitch last week, ran the long way when we counted it. You don't want to know why youth sports are ruined these days? Because Texans like that actually believe their sons are going to get drafted by the Astros in a couple years. That guy is not joking. He's dead serious. Delusion.
That's mean.
What happens when you get ejected out of the show? You just can't call or text for the remainder of the show. You can still listen.
Yeah.
We can't control that. But we can control if you call or text. So once you've been ejected, you can no longer call or text. Well, some people still do.
They do. We just don't read it.
We just don't read them. Astro, yeah, you already sent that text, Junkie. 713. I'm not reading that. Look at this text. There's 800 characters on this text. You got to condense that for me, brother. I can't read that. You sent your thesis. I'm not reading your thesis on the air. Just take too long. I was talking about the Astros.
And there's like 3 texts.
So many texts. He couldn't fit them in one.
It's 3 different long text messages.
3 different long text messages. All right, so the Texans draft. We already talked about Keelan Rutledge on Friday, 26th pick of the Houston Texans. Yay, we like that. He's ready to play. He does 2 things, Joe.
Yeah.
He plays football and he swears.
Yep.
Let's get after it, dude. Let's put some dudes in the dirt, man.
And he puts dudes in the dirt. He's about to be done putting dudes in the dirt. He'll be here in a couple weeks, rookie minicamp.
He will be.
Big son of a gun. They also drafted a big son of a gun with their first pick of the second round, Caden McDonald.
Mm-hmm. McDonald's the guy we all like.
There you go. McDonald's the guy. Brian's so happy they drafted. I hate that they drafted Caden McDonald now.
I'm now out on the pick.
I like the pick up until this drop.
This guy sucks.
I don't like this guy.
Get him off the team.
Can they trade him?
It's the first time I've had a player named McDonald on any team I like.
He's so proud. Look at he's cheesing back there.
Yeah, it's my cousin.
Look at Brian cheesing.
My cousin.
I like this pick a lot.
Do you know who else likes this pick? D'Amico Ryans likes this pick.
McDonald's a guy we all like. Scouts, coaches, everybody, collective group. Everybody liked the talent. Young player, but he's grown. He shows the strength, in the run game. He shows the ability to get off blocks and finish. So we're excited to add a young defensive tackle to that room. And he only, I know he'll flourish with the guys that he'll be learning from.
All right.
Thanks, Coach.
Appreciate that. Thank you, D'Amico. Here is Nick Caserio on the defensive tackle, Caden McDonald.
We felt McDonald was probably the best run defender in the draft. Had a really productive season. Defensive tackle that was involved in 60 tackles or 60-plus tackles, whatever it is. It's pretty impressive. And we just like the first unanimous All-American defensive tackle in the history of Ohio State's program. I mean, like, they've had a few decent players there. So it's a good kid, young kid. I mean, played the season, was 20 years old. I mean, he just turned 21. So
Nick Caserio loves that draft pick by Nick Caserio.
Yeah,
Nick Caserio loves that draft pick by Nick Caserio so much.
He's like, this guy who picked Kay McDonald.
This guy who picked Kay McDonald's a stud.
Yeah.
Let me tell you that. He also talked about adding a big 0-tech, 1-tech. It's a minute. It was pretty good audio, but we're not going to play it here. Sorry you had to cut it, that audio, Brian. But he talked about how they could use a 0-tech, 1-tech in this defense. Where normally they do. Do you want to play it, Brian, since you did the hard work?
He gave you a thumbs down.
You went, no, let's play it since Brian did the hard work. It is pretty insightful. It's kind of inside football, but it's pretty good.
D'Amico and I have talked continuously. There's a place for that player in this front. I think there's a perception of, well, you just, want a bunch of guys that just like sprint off the ball and, don't have enough playing strength and all that. Well, in the end, you got to be able to play strong at the point of attack. So you're going to have to, I mean, Foley's a good example. Like Foley, whatever size he was, I mean, Caden McDonald are about not the same size, but pretty close. So there's a place for that player on the inside part of the defense, especially on early downs. And then how do you utilize that player in let's say, known passing situations or on a third down? Maybe there's another option, or maybe there's a situation that you can create a matchup with that player. So we've talked extensively that there's a place for that type of player, that body type in this system. And we don't want to cast a player aside because he maybe, quote unquote, doesn't fit the profile. So and I think that's the beauty of our defense. And D'Amico is constantly looking for ways to evolve, and we're just not so beholden to, well, this is the way it was 3 or 4 years ago. I mean, our defense has evolved, our team has evolved, and we need to continue to evolve as a team and as an organization.
Every body can be beautiful, Joe. They're not, there's no body shaming with the Houston Texans. But
doesn't matter how big, how small, how fast, how slow.
But there is that narrative, like the Texans do a whole lot of, you know, they do the wide nine, they want defensive tackles that are mobile, all of that. And it's like, oh, you're drafting a big, maybe zero tech, one tech defensive tackle. I like that. I like the versatility. Not that the Texans were bad in this area last year, but I feel like they could have used improvement, was running right up the middle.
100%.
Right up the middle. Yeah. And this is the answer to potentially slowing that down.
I totally agree, and I also think that we know where the Texans' offense is headed with running the ball. I think that that's collectively starting to happen more.
Probably
the run game starting to come
shells,
more
important.
Twos. So I think adding like a big body like this is good. They could have taken him in the first round, and I would have liked this
pick. I like big bodies.
Yeah.
Cannot lie. I mean, I like it way more in the second round than I do the first round. Now, Nick Caserio did willing and dealing and has kept his on cloud.
He
made three trades in this trade, though, this draft.
It's light.
Light work for Nick
Caserio. Especially the way he started.
Yeah.
Each of the first two were trade-ups.
Yeah. It was funny, like, him, like, talking about, like, why did you trade up and all this stuff? And he's like, well, you know, we don't even view them as trades. Like, we only moved up two spots. It was, like, operational. It wasn't really trades. Like, maybe if you trade up multiple spots.
I think he called it positioning.
Positioning.
Yeah.
That's the positioning. Word. Yeah, he's like, moving up two spots is nothing, guys. It's basically positioning. It's not even a trade.
That's so weird.
That, from the weird same things. Guy that brought us, I don't know what need drafting for need is, right?
As he gives you a minute and a half on the need of having a big defensive tackle.
Yeah, exactly. I know they weren't full of holes that they had to fill like urgently, but like obviously offensive line and a guy in the middle that could stop the run were two of those needs, and those were his first two picks, and he traded up for each one of them. So
right?
I know.
This was like the ultimate need draft for Nick Caserio.
He's just like, hey, I need these spots. Let's draft them. Let's go get them.
And then here's why we need them.
Yeah.
he's a goofball.
But he doesn't
man.
Know what drafting for need is.
Yeah, he gets on these weird quirks.
He's a weird guy.
He's been doing this thing lately, listening to the media. It's like, I don't want to tell you that this cup is empty, but this cup is empty.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't want to tell you that we made a trade, but we made a trade. Like, he's literally saying what he says. He's like, I don't want to say that this was, you know, desperate, but it was desperate. It's like, well, why did you say you didn't want to tell me that, but then you immediately tell me that it is that way?
I don't know.
He's a weird cat. Like, yes. I'm cool with him. I like Nick. I like that he's the general manager of this team. He's weird. He's quirky. I like my GM's a little weird, a little quirky. Jeff Luno was weird and quirky. Mm-hmm. I didn't love Daryl Morey. I thought he was a little overrated, but he was weird and quirky. Like, I want my general manager to be nerdy.
Yeah, you don't want him to be like the cool guy.
No. No, but I think he's got a right the right balance of like quirkiness, nerdiness, and he also does have football background. He played football, coached football.
Yeah, John Carroll,
which is the that's the mecca.
It is
of football.
Yeah, they didn't pick John up that Carroll. One kid though.
No, who ended up getting him from the Woodlands?
The Titans.
Oh no, I don't like that.
I think
we can have that. Yeah,
yeah, he signed. Oh, he signed with the Titans. He didn't even get drafted.
Set him boys to tighten up.
He's gonna fit right in there, Tyron Montgomery. Yeah, my guy Tanner Kozio went to the Jags.
Yeah.
Like that.
We'll have to see him twice a year.
No one likes their GM.
I know, he's a nerd.
They're getting roasted.
Duval.
James Gladstone.
Yeah.
What if he's smart, though? That's been the whole thing with this draft is like, oh, players have been taken way, sooner later than they should have been taken. Like, the Texans were considered. They did this graph where they had I love a graph. Good graphs really, get me
get
going.
Get you going.
And they took the consensus big board from NFL mock draft database, mm-hmm. and then they compared it to where teams were drafting players. And the Texans ranked as the third reachiest team in the NFL. Jacksonville was one. Pittsburgh was two. The Texans were three.
What's hard about like I
so
think,
what?
Yeah, because the draft is different now with NIL.
Like, yeah, the I back keep end of the, this. I don't like this take.
But I think it's that these teams like the depth of the draft seems to be gone. And we know it wasn't even top heavy this year.
See, I disagree with that logic.
Why?
Because everybody's like, well, college players are staying in school because they're cashing in on NIL. Are they doing that for the rest of their lives? They eventually have to go into the draft. You might see fewer underclassmen, but you're still seeing the same amount of NFL prospects. They're just a little older, which a little older, you should have more intel and be safer.
Yeah, but it just seems like people were all over the consensus versus what they were taking this year.
But here's my thing with like the whole consensus and like draft grades and all this. Who do you trust more? The NFL mock draft community, where these consensus lists are being made, or the NFL GM community? Because I would trust more
mostly the GMs.
The NFL GM community than the NFL mock draft community.
Yeah.
That's where I stand on
no,
this.
I agree. Like, I was listening to part of my take, and they brought up how, like, Bleacher Report gave the Bobby Irvin and Russell Wilson draft from the Seahawks a D. And I think they took Sherman in that draft, too.
Sheesh.
And it's just like they gave him a D, and like, this draft sucks.
Yeah.
And then it ends up being the reason why the Seahawks won a Super Bowl.
I don't even like to do the whole, like, what do we think of the Texans draft class?
We don't know.
I'll tell you in 4 years when their rookie contracts are done.
Yeah. Like, and there are guys, like, I was at a draft party kind of thing this weekend.
Flex. Look at this guy.
I went and saw Landry and Cody.
Flex. At Spanky's?
No, they were at Dave and Buster's.
Oh.
I used it as a reason just to go play games with the kid.
I want to try Spanky's wings.
And when the Texans made their fourth round pick, it was the quietest I've ever seen a room of Texans fans because no one knew who this guard was out of Oklahoma.
Obafemi?
Yeah.
drafted Obafemi.
They did draft Obafemi.
Yeah, they drafted this guy in the fourth round, Obafemi. You didn't realize that? This guy's a stud.
It looks like it.
He's the ruler of worlds.
Like, no one knew who he was.
They drafted Obafemi. They weren't celebrating Obafemi?
No, they were not. It was just silent. He could be a really good football player, but it's like no one had ever heard of him.
Squashed Brock Lesnar like a week ago.
Yeah.
He's the ruler of worlds, Joe. The guy they drafted from Oklahoma.
Yeah. Like, you know, everyone's crushing Nick Caserio for Klein.
Yeah, they are crushing. Hold on. Stop jumping the gun here, Joe.
Sorry.
Let's hear. I also wrote down Caden McDonald's name wrong.
I wasn't going to call you out for it.
I put Caden McDaniel. I don't know where I was at.
I was so confused.
My mind was in a weird place over the weekend. Caden McDonald on what he adds. He sounds – here, Joe. Well, I wrote it in the notes. I think he sounds a little bit like Mike Tyson.
Okay.
Disruptor, making it easier for the DN, and we all go together. We're going to work. I'm ready.
That sounds a little bit like this.
We owe each other to fight each other. Hell of a life.
Play them back-to-back again for me, Brian.
Disruptor, making it easier for the DN, and we all go together. We're going to work. I'm ready.
We owe each other to fight each other.
Dude.
Elevate our life.
I think they drafted Mike Tyson in the second round. Everybody's got a plan until Caden McDonald punches you in the face.
My first reaction was like,
it's Caden McDonald.
There's no way that you're right on this. And then Brian plays them back-to-back, and there, it's Mike Tyson.
When I heard that last part, I was like, "That is Mike Tyson's. We owe it each. We owe each other to fight each other."
Yeah,
they sound
the elevator like lies.
Did that not sound similar?
It does. It 100% does. He sounds like Mike Tyson,
and I love it. Like, I want mean, ferocious, I'm gonna eat his children people playing in my defensive line.
Sounds great.
I want. You know, I'm gonna. You know, I'm going to eat his children. My offense is impetuous. My defense is impregnable. You know what the Texans just added to their defense? They added the impregnable Caden McDonald.
Love it.
I love
spinal.
It.
Spinal.
Just hope he stays away from injury.
Yes.
Especially to his back.
And biting ears.
I don't care if he bites ears. Well, plus they're wearing helmets. It's going to be tough.
Oh, they take them off when they fight.
I like ferocious defensive tackles. I if I'm going to get a zero tech, I don't care if he's biting a couple of ears.
What do you think the suspension would be for that in the NFL? Biting an ear.
Six games.
Fair.
First offense, maybe two or three.
I don't know. You take someone's ear off.
Take a chunk.
You might be at least six.
You think?
Yeah.
I think six is a minimum.
I think running backs would think twice about running up the middle.
That's true.
They would think twice.
Definitely do it against the Colts, Jonathan Taylor.
They would think twice about running up the middle. Now, there was a lot of questions about this tight end, too, that the Texans drafted. You jumped the gun there with Marlon Kline, who's a big German, apparently. Big German. He's a big dude. 6'6", 248. They say his strengths are, you know, inline blocking. But they also say he's got a bunch of potential as a receiver. I saw the way he moved a bit watching some. I like the way he moves. Todd McShay comped him to Tucker Kraft.
Interesting.
Which big body dude can move a little bit. So we'll see. We'll see if Nick's right or not on this. But here was Nick Caserio on drafting the big German Marlon Kline from Michigan.
I would say for us, Marlon, like, was kind of a no-brainer. This is a player we really liked. His story, I mean, you guys would get, if you haven't talked to him, like, his story is really impressive. Like, the fact that he's even here having this discussion really speaks to who he is, his maturity, his intelligence, his toughness. I mean, he could have sat out the bowl game, basically told his coach and, you know, everybody else, his agents, representatives, like, I'm playing. I mean, kind of like what Kamari did. The year that he came out, you know, with Georgia. So good size, runs well. I mean, 6'5", 250, runs 4.6. You know, I'd say his best football is probably in front of him, but type of player that has the right mentality, has the right mindset, good work ethic, really smart.
Looks like the Wolverine, too, on his ESPN draft picture. So anyways, that's their pick. A lot of people are like, oh, he got drafted way too early. Time will tell.
Yeah, I mean, my only concern is just like the last time Caserio took a flyer on a tight end like this was Stover.
Stover was what, third?
Yeah. And fourth round, Brian says. And hasn't panned out to anything.
I think Stover's been okay.
Like, I don't know. I feel like Klein's going to get him cut.
I mean, Stover's a fourth rounder is not awful.
I think you're just like you're betting on upside.
You think he's going to get cut? Stover?
Someone's getting cut from this tight end room now.
I mean, you're going to have... Oh, yeah, I forgot about Moreau. I forgot about Foster.
Yeah, you're Foster, Moreau, Dalton Schultz.
So you're probably going to keep
Brevin.
Four. I mean, you'll probably... I think you can... Well, here's the thing with Brevin. I think he could start the year on the IR.
Sure.
I think he could be one of those start the year on the IR pup. You bring him up whenever the other guy gets hurt. I think that'd be the best way to do it, too. Because you do have... I mean, guys are going to get hurt in camp, too. Guys will get hurt in the preseason. I forgot about Moreau, though.
Yeah, it's more just like he took a flyer on Stover, so we'll see how this one works out.
Yeah, we'll see. So, yeah, what is your thought on how he's deployed rookie year? Like, do you think he'll even play much, or is it just, like, developmental tight end?
I think he'll be, at best, your third tight end, you see. And just really be extra blocker in certain situations.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think best case scenario, he beats out Foster, and he's, like, tight end two.
Yeah.
Maybe he's just behind everybody, though, and he's just developmental tight end four. The other two, I think McDonald's going to play a lot. I don't think he's going to be your second defensive tackle. But I think he'll play a lot, be a rotational piece. I think Tommy Togiai is going to be start ahead of him.
Yeah, especially on early downs, I think we'll see him.
Yeah.
But I don't expect him to be a main piece this year.
Well, I don't know if I agree with that. I think he's your third DT, and the third DT on this team is going to play a lot.
That's true. I guess he's not going to be like the top. Like you say, he's not going to be the top two guy probably this year, which is fine.
And then Rutledge, what do you think his what do you think his plight is?
Can I talk about the fourth round pick here too for a second?
No, we'll get to that next.
Okay, well, then I think Rutledge is your starting center.
Yeah, I do, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do, too. All right, let's look at the rest of the draft when we come back. Oba, Femi, Woody Woodaz as well. A couple of others, too. Even a Bill O'Brien player drafted to the Houston Texans.
We're not down. The sun is up, there you go. And we're fighting.
We're fighting for Lewis Bond. All right, 713-780-ESPN. What did you think of Caserio's draft class? It's Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
ESPN. 97.5.